can speak well enough to understand part of it. Jude. It's the longest book in the Bible. I always thought it was the Psalms. That's got the most chapters. Longest book in the Bible is Jeremiah. It's a book of prophecy, some book of prose, and some book of poems and all. Connie?
I have two in here. You must have mentioned it because I didn't know it. How many times are the children mentioned in the Bible?
The children?
Children mentioned in the Bible.
Well, how many times? Usually the word children of Israel is one of the prominent numbers, yeah. Now, what else? You said you had another one?
No.
I was all set up for two of them. Jeremiah is different than the other books of prophecy and most of the Old Testament in of itself because he did not go with a chronological order. It's about like going to your grandmother's or your great aunt's house. They'll start telling you about 1956, and you hear about 1913. Then they'll jump back to 75 and remember Kennedy's death. And it's just up and down and those type of things. Jeremiah taught what was lived from 626. I need to write that down, don't I? Oh gosh, almost wrote on that. Oh, that would have been. That would have been the end of a ministry, wouldn't it? 626 to 583. You're going to need that. That's a pitiful color.
You got a
what?
Can't see it.
I know I said it's a pitiful color. Well, I hate these shrink wraps. Here, let's use that one. 626 to 586. 6, there you go. Zero. 4. That's not his life, that's his ministry. I'm sorry. His ministry lasted 40 years. He was in Israel's troubled times. When he came in, the country was under a good king, Hezekiah. Things were going well, they were very honorable. You know that list of good kings, bad kings. Things were all very honest and all. When Hezekiah was gone, in comes Manasseh, and he was just a picture of evil in the dictionary. Would have had his face in it. He was that evil. So he went from congratulating people and trying to push them forward to now trying to reinvigorate the worship of Jehovah, to fight against the false gods, the idol worship, and those type of things. His name means the Lord throws. Now, and a better Hebrew word actually is the Lord is hurling. So it seems like he's throwing things down on Israel. Enemies are attacking Israel. Israel's having a very difficult time. There are 9 different men named in the Old Testament named Jeremiah. Now, usually we don't hear that. And some of them were even contemporary. You say, well, that's just terrible. No, I don't know. How many Johns are in the Old Testament? How many Johns are in the New Testament? Yeah. So there's a lot of things that seem to be repetitive, but his are all kept together. He was often called, are you ready for this? Here's a title for you. He was called the Weeping Prophet. He saw things so bad that it disturbed him. I guess we can refer back to when Jesus came upon Jerusalem, the day of coming back to the last Passover. He was there getting ready for the crucifixion, and it said Jesus wept. Thank you very much for setting us up with that one. But Jesus did not weep over his death. Jesus wept over the condition that Israel was in and how far they had fallen away from the worship of his father, Jehovah. So he's called the Weeping Prophet, and I assume... Yeah, let me give you one that may jump at you. Let me give you a couple that may jump at you. And most people are not afraid to weep some. The day John Kennedy was killed. Republican, Democrat, it didn't matter. Pro-Kennedy, anti-Kennedy, it didn't matter. He was our president. He was our leader. The 9/11, that was a day of distress and weeping. I mean, we see that there are a lot of times those things do happen. And he was well known for that. Let's see what else I want to give you. He was very aware of the situation in the other countries, because now Israel had gone against God, against God's word. They were very vulnerable. And it does seem very frequently that when Israel has turned its back on God, he gets their attention. There's a lady at Home Depot that I buy from, and she has a macaw. Is it a macaw?
Yeah.
She has a macaw, and she taught it to talk. I don't know how you do that. And she was telling me that she had a friend that had a talking bird, and he was a sailor. And he sold the bird to a preacher. And didn't tell the preacher his background, and the bird started talking a little strong one day. I don't know what this has to do with it. Just a story I wanted to tell. And the bird was talking sort of foul one day. Foul, bird talking foul. It's the best you're going to get today. And so the preachers grabbed a hold of him and put him in the freezer. And about 5 minutes later, over at the freezer, the bird said, "I'm sorry, that'll never happen again, but what did that other fella, that turkey fella in there say?" "Oh, it usually works better than that." Why was the turkey in there frozen solid, you know? If you got to explain a joke, it doesn't work. He was trying to get over what had happened to Israel during their time of capture by Nebuchadnezzar. And they also were oppressed by the Egyptians as well. So he's trying to bring God's word to them. Remember, the Nebuchadnezzar was 597. And this is all B.C., so the numbers are always backwards when we do this type of thing. I think that's enough background for right now. We'll bring other stuff in it. I did say it's the longest book in the Bible. It's quoted many other times by some other writers. In the first verse of the first chapter of the book of Jeremiah, it says, "The words of Jeremiah, son of Hakil, one of the priests of Anathoth." You got that map? I want you to show. Now, oh no, I meant that picture I had. That's where he's from. There you go. A little more. See the River Jordan flowing down? So he's from the east side of the River Jordan, which was never totally all in with Jerusalem. These were the ones that were captured first when the invaders came, and they never really. Things are falling apart today, and they really never gave in to it always. But what about the big city I had for you? Well, pull it up. Okay, don't use it. He was in a very desolate area, and his town was actually up on a mountaintop, big bluff. The word of the Lord came. Now, when we hear that, we know something's going to change. That's the area he's from. See the big mountaintop and all? It's a very rough, very dangerous place to be. And the little city is down below, below the citadel. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Joash, son of Ammon, king of Judah. Though the reign of Jehoiakim, son of Jodash, king of Judah, down to the 5th month in the 11th year of Zechariah, son of Joash, king of Judah, when the people of Judah went into exile. So we can date him. That's how we can tell you this, the dates of. He began in 626, and then he preached for 40 years. So it's a period of trial and trouble. Now, I'm looking around. Less than half of us, and probably less than half, were born and active enough to remember. Oh, and I'm going to pick on you today. What year were you born?
1935.
So you remember a little bit about World War II, but not the brunt of it. Right. They could probably tell you a whole lot about the trials and tribulations during World War II. My grandparents were born in the 1800s. And I've heard one story about the Depression and the hard times. I've heard of most of y'all have grandparents that remember those things and told you about the hard times. a lot of times the political situation that you're in, or the actual safety situation you're in, or the security situation you're in, has a lot to do with what's going on in the community. Right after 9/11, you remember they told all the trucks in the CBs, if you see it, report it. And people were calling in, and nobody was opening up envelopes that had powder in it. And everybody seemed to be a lot more secure. If you go to a town where there's a serial killer or something going on, you're a lot more careful. That's what's going on in Israel right now. They are in danger. They are in distress. And God's trying to tell them, there's a hope. The word came to me saying, Jeremiah, in verse 5, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That is one of the lines that's used for the pro-life people. Not for the pro-abortionists, but for the pro-life. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Sovereign God, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. If you remember back on the mountain with the burning bush, now Moses was not a child. He was 80 years old when that was going on. But Moses says, I'm not ready for this. I can't handle this. Well, it seems to me like if God told you you're ready, you're good and ready. No, not at that age. But he says, I am a child. Well, you ever been asked to do something? You said, I'm not capable of this? Even on a committee, maybe. Is it hot or is it Dwight? It is hot. Okay. Oh, and Nancy, I know you're always cold. I know that. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Well, he's got it made. God's given him the words to speak. He's given him the message to make. He doesn't have to write a speech or a sermon. I did not realize it until we used to watch the West Wing. I didn't know the presidents didn't write their own speeches. I didn't know they had guys in there, girls in there writing speeches for them and certain points they're trying to bring out. But it seemed like that's the way it is in politics, speech writers and stump writers. Well, right here we're telling us that God is going to be the writer. All you have to do, Mr. Jeremiah, is open up your mouth and let come out what God has put in. If you've ever been afraid to go up and talk to somebody, maybe there's been a death or something along that line, and you're afraid if you say something, it may be the wrong thing. And then when you talk to them, it seems like that the words just come. And it wasn't something maybe you even planned to say, but God let it come out because you were doing the right thing of trying to help someone. It doesn't always work. I was with a couple guys one day, and one of them's wife had just died, and one of the men walked up who had been a widower about a year or two. He says, I know how you feel. And the guy says, you couldn't know how I feel. He was in that much depression, stress, and really didn't appreciate what the other fellow was doing for him. But he said, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to rescue you. Don't be afraid of your enemy. Now, those of you who've been in war or have been in hard times will know that sometimes the enemy can overwhelm you before you're even ready. This is too big a task for me, God. I can't do this. And that's our excuse. But sometimes you try it. Did any of y'all grow up out in the country where there were ponds and cliffs and stuff? Did you ever dive off a cliff?
In the river.
In the river. You came back up. Did any of y'all ever bungee jump? You pulled a Tarzan on them, huh? I mean, you think, I can't do this. The first time you ever rode the beast or one of those giant, huge old, straight down, big old roller coaster. I tell you, one of the worst things that got me just a couple weeks ago was riding the teacup. I almost had to crawl out of the theater, and I wasn't moving about that much at a time. Hey, blame my mother. So he said, don't be afraid, declared the Lord. When you start something new, and it's the right thing to do, you do it. Getting involved the first time, what was the first time back when we did the Samaritan's Purse? 6 or 8 or 10 boxes? Yeah. No, what was the number of boxes?
With Ellen?
No. The first...
The very first, I don't know. We've got a record book.
We haven't rehearsed this yet.
No.
But we're a whole lot better now. 60-some turned in this time and quite a bit of money, and we just get better and better, and we're used to it. It's been well. Those of you that are going down and helping with the anti-abortion people, they're doing that. And there's things, sometimes we just reach out, God will make it work if we allow it to happen. Then the Lord reached out his hand, he touched my mouth and said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. Only wished it was that easy today, wouldn't we? Be able to give a great speech, something like that. It is, if you let God tell you what to say. And you get it together. See, today I point you over nations and kingdoms to uproot, tear down, and destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. I'm a preacher, he's saying. Now you're going to destroy nations. Now, I don't know that Jeremiah even owned a sword or a spear or a bow. But he had the armor of God. As we talked about last week, Jesus had a two-edged sword coming from his mouth, and that was the word of God. That's the God's teachings. So he was armed with far better equipment than the enemy was. You're going to destroy nations. From within is how he would do it. He would teach them and let them learn and grow. See, today I point you you're over the nations. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see a branch of an almond tree. Do we have almond trees anywhere around here? Are they all in California like that commercial? They make that milk out of it. Does Florida have an almond tree at all? How do you make milk out of an almond? I don't know how you just squeeze it. I don't know how you make milk out of a cow or a sheep, but never an almond. I don't know. I see the branch of an almond tree. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I'm watching to see my word is fulfilled. There's a lot of people said that God has forgotten about us, that he doesn't care what goes on, that we're on our own anymore. My statement to that is maybe we have forgotten about God, and our country's forgotten about God. And that's why we just look at things and shake our head and go on, because we don't think it's that important or it doesn't mean anything anymore. The word of the Lord came to me and says, what do you see? I see a boiling pot tilling away from the north, I answered. The Lord said, from the north, disaster we've poured out on all those who live on the land. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms. Throw me a map up of that region, if you would, the Middle East, Jerusalem and north. I'm about to summon all the peoples of the northern kingdoms, declared the Lord. Their kings will come up and set up their thrones and enter the gates of Jerusalem. They will come down against all her surrounding walls, against all the towns of Judea. I will pronounce my judgments on my people because of their wickedness and forsaking me. They're burning all incense to other gods and worshiping what their hands have made. You got it? Not yet. You got it. Pick one. I want the biggest, broadest. I can't. Yeah. Hit me with that one right now. That's more the south than the north, but I guess it is. All right, we got a little bitty Jerusalem. Keep moving. I'm going to be like that ride. Got a little bitty. Red Skelton was funny, but he's dead. You got Israel over here starting 48. All this area here have at one time or another been enemies of Israel. Some have been enemies for a short period of time. Others, such as Babylon and Syria and Assyria, have been enemies for longer, had to capture the cities, took them over. If you pay attention right now, not only is Syria ready to go, part of Jordan is. The Lebanon area is controlled by the Palestinians, and Turkey is mounting war against the Christians. They're going after the Kurds. The Kurds are the Christians that have been around for 2,000 years. Part of them are the results of the old ancient Greek Orthodox Church that was out of Constantinople. So there's still wars. And if you wait, read anything in the paper at all, well, wait just a minute. You have got Iraq and Iran. Somewhat set back, but not totally, fired up and ready to go at any moment. They're not making those nuclear bombs to have a fireworks show. They're making them to threaten Israel. Over 200,000 rockets, as of last week it was estimated, over 200,000 rockets are within landing. Now, I'm not talking about nuclear bombs. I'm talking about, you know, like mortars are within landing distance of Jerusalem as it is. So there are still people, primarily in the north, that want to go against Israel. And I tell you what, it doesn't show it there, but you know what's right up in here, don't you? Russia. So the north has been, was, and I think continues to be, an enemy of all of Israel and Jerusalem. Charles.
Russia's in Syria now.
Why? Once you get control of something, it's hard letting go. Especially the Russians. And I am surprised, I'm really surprised, that the Chinese haven't openly gone against Israel. I guess they got enough to do right now with Taiwan and with the Hong Kong. Keep an eye on Hong Kong. That's still
very volatile.
Very volatile. I mean, remember Tiananmen Square? How they backed him down, 13 days or so? These guys have been at it for quite a while, but I don't know how long they're going to take it. Yet. Get yourself ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them. Who is them? Well, enemy. Yeah, but the enemy. You got to give me more than that, Owen. Syrians are one group. Who else is the enemy?
Egypt.
Who else is the enemy? Turkey? Who else is the enemy? Persians? Iran? In other words, about anybody except Israel is Israel's enemy. Aren't we glad we don't live over there and have enemies today?
We are there.
We are there. But we don't have any enemies, do we? He says sarcastically. And the enemies are still there. We are our own worst enemy. Can you remember years ago, most of you all would be pre-teen probably, you'd rather be dead than red? Remember those statements? Anti-communist and all those kind of things. And then we got into the different enemies we had around the world and all the... Did it say last week on Thanksgiving Day, I think it said we have military in like 150-some different countries. I didn't even know there was 150-some different countries. Some of them about as big as a postage stamp, maybe. I don't know. Why are they upset with us? Why does anybody want to be an enemy of America? We give them everything we got. Because we stand for things as a nation that they don't. We've called ourselves a Christian nation for years. I don't know how much longer we consider ourselves a Christian nation. Read a long article from a preacher today. And I was sad to read it, but I understood it when I read it. Chick-fil-A has given up a lot of their Christian connections and are starting to support, quote, youth activities, but have nothing to do with godliness. Yes, ma'am. Really?
I think it was 2000.
After the old man died. That's after the old. Yeah. Southern Poverty, Southern Baptist. What do they call it? Southern what?
Southern
Poverty. Yeah. Very left wing. Chuck.
Change from the top down, and then you get the street people on the bottom walking down the street and stuff like that from the bottom up. You squeeze the middle. That's exactly what happened.
Mr. Khrushchev might have been right.
He was right.
Destroying us from within. We're doing a good job on suicide in this country. But God says, don't do this. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. Today I made you a fortified city. He's talking about Jerusalem with iron pillars and bronze walls and stand against the whole land. Against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. God and one Christian is a majority. Let me say it right, a majority. And that's what he's saying here. That we may lose temporary battles. Who knows what the Supremes are going to do any given day. And I'm not talking about Diana Ross. I'm talking about the other ones in black. But who knows? But still, does that change the truth? Or does that just change what we say is okay? We need a revival. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you. For I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. I don't think that promise given to Jeremiah has changed at all. Corrie Ten Boom. Remember Corrie Ten Boom? Some of you may have even heard her speak at conferences and stuff. She was a young child in prison in Soviet Russia. And how through her love and actions, she actually converted some guards that way. Don't give up. The word of God came to me again, he says, and proclaimed this in the hearing of Jerusalem. I remember the devotion of your youth. It's talking about young Jerusalem. David and Solomon, the young leaders, where they were fired up and prepped and ready to work and to go. The devotion, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the desert. Well, remember Mr. Moses, and they followed him right at 40 years, because God had told them to, and they saw this was the best thing to do. And they didn't. Well, the ones that questioned died, so it sort of takes the questioning part out of it. Through a land not sown, a desert. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who devoured her were held guilty, and disaster overtook them. They did not come away unscathed. Israel's been in a lot of battles. But as long as they were faithful, they won, and God blessed them. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob. Now, do remember, you got an Israel map up? You there yet? You're supposed to, she's not here to read ahead what I want you to do. Neither can I. Give me Israel. Probably, give me the 12 tribes. I wish we had a brand new screen to see on. I want the 12 tribes if you can. That's too modern there. It's written in Aramaic. And what we're looking at specifically, there you go. Do it to it. This is better. Too many colors in the other one. Abracadabra. Shazam. There we go. Swell it up. Here we go. All right. They were pretty much by those tribes. If you remember, by the time that Solomon was dead and his son took over, Jeroboam and Rehoboam in the battle, this whole side of the River Jordan and anything above the river, above the tribe of Benjamin, they had turned. They were worshiping on their mountain. They were doing things their way. So when he keeps saying Jerusalem, Jerusalem, and it's the group of Judah, it was just the sons of Judah that was working for God. So when we see the word Judah, he's actually meaning that one tribe. The rest of them had interspersed. You ever heard the term the lost tribes of Israel? That's those guys spread out around the world, been taken captive and far away. Well, we found Jews in Russia, even. They were dispersed. And not to ever be a force again. So he says, proclaiming the hearing of Jerusalem, I remember the devotion you had. Was at one time. Who's the first group? We were talking about it just a few minutes ago. the first musical group or singer that you remember and you were just devoted to? My mom, it would have been Frank Sinatra or Bing Crosby, who you're going to play for, I think, next Saturday, aren't you, Frank and Bing? The Beatles in my generation, the Monkees. Who? The Ink Spots. Love the Ink Spots. A little slow, good to dance for, give it a number 9 on the chart. Connie? Mitch Miller, Thursday nights at 7:30. Absolutely. We all, black and white TV, couldn't even know that was a red ball if you had a black and white TV. Those things, that they were really, I mean, I would love to know those girls up at JFK when the Beatles come in, if they're still swooning over them. But boy, they were hot when they were. Elvis? But those things we've forgotten about. We've gone on. Now it's songs that we don't even know the words for because we can't understand them. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest.
$5.47,
we can have it.
Wow.
Pre-owned, it's probably been scratched by a rapper. Not too many ideas. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, all you clans of the house of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your fathers find in me that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. How about that? Did you ever see something that was just worthless? Like batteries keep running out? Jeff, you would know what I'm talking about. I tried to compact for a building site Monday, and I didn't know sand would not compact. It just bounced. And it made spray when it came out. It was a lot harder to do because sand, because when we come from there, ain't no sand or clay. It compacted real well. And it just didn't do its job. I learned that lesson well. It was worthless. I know it hadn't happened yet, but in a couple of days, probably tomorrow, after your food's been in the back of the refrigerator for a week and the turkey turned green and the pie, that peak pumpkin pie is done turning, you know, it's growing grass on top of it, you know what I'm saying? That's, throw it out. You know, it's okay. Throw it out. Or if you all are a coffee drinker, you get a coffee set about 8 hours and it's done real cold and sort of like the spoon stands up in it by itself. Yeah, that's worthless. Those kind of things are people too. You met worthless people by what they do. That doesn't mean they're not going to be productive to God. They always have a chance. But at that time, they're worth very little. Worthless. I always wonder what that less meant. Worthless than he should be. They do not ask. They did not ask. Where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt? Who led us through the barren wilderness, through the land of deserts and rifts, a land of drought and darkness, a land where no one travels. In other words, why aren't they remembering what I did for them? They're in trouble now. If you get in trouble, what do? You try to get out of trouble. Our little one fell in the pool Sunday night. Sunday night, Beck? Thursday night? Saturday night. Fell in the pool, a 5-year-old. And she was down in the water face first. She comes up to the top. And she looks and there's 4 men standing beside the edge of the pool. She didn't reach out for one of them. She went straight to them. Didn't cry. They didn't want her. She didn't say, come jump in here and grab me. She went straight to them. She saw where the way to get out was. And she put her glasses on the edge of the pool and she climbed out. Because she knew that was the way to go. Had she tried going the other way, it had been a lot longer swim. What's our goal? Where do we want to be? Getting back to something. Joseph. Heaven. What about in between time, Joe? Got to do something to help get there. What you got to say is, I got to know where I want to be. Joe says heaven, which is good. Now, how do we go about getting there? Follow the words of God. And these people were not following the words of God. They'd gotten away from him. Well, they loved him when he was feeding them every day. The manna, the quails, the water out of the rock. They big time there. But when they had a little bit of, they stumped their toe or something like that. Oh, we don't want to do that. Who's gone up to a swimming pool or to a creek maybe and want to jump into it, you put your toe in first and there's icicles on your toenails, you say, that's enough of this. I'll go back and do something else. Yeah, that polar bear club is not, do they have a polar bear club down here? Jump into 75 degree water, that'd be more of a grizzly bear there. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord. I will bring charges against your children's children. And we've discussed that before. How many generations does God punish people? Well, now, if I read that properly, go with me this way. Instead of him punishing the children for what the parents did, the parents were wrong. You're with me on that. The kids aren't getting the beating for what the parents did. The kids are getting their beating because they did not change from what their parents did. And that's a big difference. Because of the free will that God has given us, it is our choice whether to follow the wrong way, the crooked way, the wide way, or the straight and narrow. So these children weren't condemned by their parents. They were given the opportunity by their parents. They were given example, though it was a bad example, by their parents. So what we must do is be the good example to others. It's fun to watch from the front or to move around on a Sunday morning and watch the different ones of, I don't know whether the word regulars is a good word or, I experienced attenders to go around and find the new people. 90% of them are in the back two rows, the way it really always happens. You know, we need a church of all back rows, I guess. But, or automatically move up a row each time. But, what year was this?
1902.
Give me one second, Joe. Those mothers had not been taught sanitation. Child mortality was extremely high.
They were afraid to use soap on babies.
And that's wrong how? Mm-hmm. That's wrong how?
They thought it was wrong.
Oh, I've been today.
Oh.
Joseph?
Over in Arcadia, they said in the back two rows. So they all moved up front.
Why didn't you take the pulpit and put it in the back?
Yeah, reverse.
The preacher had moved the pulpit out of there, and when they brought it back in, they didn't get the connections right on the public address system. And I could have raised my voice, and I did, after they got up front. But I got them up front.
All about methods. Cross over the coast to Kittim and look, send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there's ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? In other words, the false idols are out there. They're worshiping the false idols. Yet they're not gods at all, but my people have exchanged their glory for worthless idols. The glory of knowing God, the glory of serving God, of being blessed by God, they've given it for idols. AC/DC. Anybody ever remember AC/DC? One of the songs was, I sold my soul for rock and roll. I'm not sure they didn't mean that. I'm really not sure that wasn't a life experience for them. And I guess people have sold their souls for probably a lot less. He said they've exchanged my glory for worthless life. Be appalled at this. Do you ever think there's anything, what's the last appalling thing you've ever heard? That people just tore up. I can tell you one that comes to my mind first. The last, not the first, the last thing that's a very appalling. the guy that committed suicide, maybe. Jeffrey, what? Epstein. If you read his stories of what he's supposed to have done, that's appalling. And to whom he done it with. Now, yesterday on a bus, I think, was it here or Collier County, that a very sadly special needs child, was it here? Spit a piece of apple. I'm sorry. Not the emergency call I was expecting. Spit a piece of apple on the floor. She goes back, grabs the apple, throws it out the door. And from what they say on camera, is screaming and shouting and beating the kid in the head. Y'all haven't heard that? It's all over our news. I don't know about the word lady, but it was a female bus driver. Yeah, it was. Yeah, just, and it happened yesterday. They're going to meet in 2 weeks to decide if they're going to fire her or not. And the question is, what? So there you go. That's appalling. And I'm sure there's a lot of things you've seen in your life that are appalling. Some things are just bad, but some things are just detestable, if you like that word. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of the living water, and have dug their own cisterns. Now, there's a symbolism there. They didn't want to get the water of life from God, as we're told about in the book of Revelation. It flows from underneath his throne. They want to get from a different source. I talked to a person in the last 2 months, not in this state, right now, not in this state, who found out that their spouse had been having an affair for years. The spouse's answer was, "Well, I wasn't satisfied with the way you were treating me, so I let somebody else treat me." I think that's appalling. You're talking about sexual immorality. That's what I'll go that far to tell you. A servant. Is Israel a servant? A slave by birth? Why then has he become plunder? Lions have roared. They've growled at him. They lay waste to the land. His towns are burned and deserted. Men of Memphis and Tophanes. Memphis is the big city. It was the big city in Egypt. They shaved the crown from your head. Excuse me. They've shaved the crown of your head. We're supposed to shave an Israelite's head or his beard. It was an insult. Have you not brought on this yourself by forsaking the God? God, oh God, why have you forsaken me? That was a question. My father, why have you forsaken me, is a question that Jesus answered. He didn't forsake God, but he thought God had forsaken him when he turned his back on the sins. Then you got to say, have we forsaken God? In years past, we would not have chosen leaders who have the lifestyles that we hear about now and are pretty much excused, because that's just the way it is. There's a lot of things that go on that we just wink and go on about, and not saying this is wrong. It's amazing. And we put up with it because that's just the way it is, we're told. You brought this on yourselves. When things go wrong, it may be ours. Sometimes, if growing up, you ever received corporal punishment from one of your parents, or aunts or uncles, or somebody like that, and you knew you had it coming, well, here we go. So why go to Egypt to drink water from Soror? Why go to Syria to drink water from the river? Your wickednesses will punish you. Your backsliding will rebuke you. Consider now and realize how even bitter it is for you. Then you forsake the Lord, when you forsake the Lord your God and have no awe. A little bit of scared, a little bit of respect should be going on. And God's going to demand that because he can. I'm looking. Most of you all grew up in elementary school, at least, if not in high school, where you did the flag. We did the flag. We would do a scripture verse and have the Lord's Prayer every day at school. Well, they would probably put the teacher in jail if they did that today. We've gotten that far away. And the things that were once righteous and okay now pretty much get laughed at. Because we've got a generation of school teachers, college professors. As you were a college teacher, I was too. Fortunately, I was in a private school. But we've allowed it to trickle down. Now, are you saying church grounds or school grounds?
School grounds.
Okay, I thought that you said church grounds. Yeah.
They're meeting on school grounds, and they are making a headway, but it's very, very slow.
But it's going the right direction. Tom?
Good.
I don't remember high school doing that. We went to the same high school. Was there prayer and stuff like that in high school? In high school? We had devotions over the loudspeaker.
I got a high school in 55, and I don't remember doing it. I was out of high school in
55. No, we
were. Grade school, yeah, we did it in grade school.
Charles?
Academia doesn't educate our children today. They indoctrinate our children.
But who lets that happen? Who votes for the school boards? Who helps them choose the curriculum? So which is much our fault by saying, well, I'm just too busy to go to a school board meeting.
Who gave academia the teachers tenure where they can't be fired? They're not accountable for
politics. That was politics, Chuck. You know that.
Well, that's one of the problems. It's a big
problem. We elected them.
There you go. We did. I saw one more hand over here. Who is anybody? Joe. And you remember it more than 10 years later. Much more than 10 years later. Any other thoughts? We'll continue this next week. Thank you very much. Becky needs how many minutes to build the room?
No, we're not.
Oh, that's right. We'll do it Sunday morning.